Welcome back, friend. Today's episode is something that has been everywhere, all in the news. We're going to talk about Ozempic and this whole body positivity movement. Is it still here? Did it leave with Ozempic? What's Wegovy? We're going to get into it.
Mounjaro.
Oh, I didn't even know about that one. So lots to talk about. But before we get there, toast. Toast to planning for our own joy, friend.
Cheers.
Cheers.
How are you doing that?
By having this wonderful white wine at 9 a.m. So let's start there. The other thing is, so I told you before that I've been really enjoying anal. And I'm continuing that.
Oh my God. You know what I was going to say?
What?
Planning travel.
Oh, that's great. Sometimes I plan anal on my travel.
No, but do you know what's actually brought me so much joy this year? Planning travel when I'm traveling. Because when I'm traveling, because I love traveling, you know this, like I love traveling so much. I love going to new places. I love experiencing new things on my own, with my family, with my friends. I just feel like the best version of myself when I'm away.
Yeah.
That I get a lot of anticipatory sadness about
the vacation ending.
Right. And so so in February, we planned our April kids' vacation while we were on our February.
Oh, I love it. So then did you plan something when you went away in April?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's coming up for when?
August.
All right. Keep it going. So to that point, like how you plan while you're on vacation, I have a lot of anal while I'm on vacation. So that...
Do you share a room with three kids?
I don't. So that makes it a lot easier. But in all seriousness, I find that hotel sex is the best.
Oh, Airbnb, it's totally the best.
Sex is the absolute best.
Wait, what, wait, sorry. What did you say?
Airbnb sex.
I disagree.
You don't like Airbnb? So you prefer hotel versus Airbnb? Yeah. What's the difference, Margot?
I don't know. There's something very personal about Airbnbs. It's like someone else's home.
Girls, are you saying so you wouldn't like have sex in somebody else's home?
I don't think so.
This is not judgment. I'm just shocked.
I don't think so. I mean, unless it was like a necessity.
I'm ovulating now.
No, I didn't even mean that necessarily. But like, I mean, I'm not saying it's never happened. Okay. I just wouldn't plan for it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no. I bring the toys. I have the things. I have all the things. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah, because it's getting freaky. It's getting nasty. Especially when I'm not at home. Because I don't have to worry about the sheets.
Oh. But like Airbnbs are people's homes. Like, would you do that at your grandma's house?
No, because it's my grandma. Okay. But these
What about
people,
your mom?
They have assumed the risk, Margot. It's capitalism. This is what comes along with it.
Okay, well, this is another interesting question around Airbnbs. Are they hotels? Are they homes? Let's talk about it.
Amen. Amen. But I'm so happy that you are planning for your joy.
And I'm so happy that you're planning for your joy, however it enters you.
Thanks.
Okay. Quote of the day. I actually think this is fitting for today.
Okay.
As we talk about living in our bodies or changing our bodies or body transformation or life transformation. I am not chasing anyone to be chosen. Alex L. She has a very large presence, I think mainly on Instagram, though I imagine on TikTok and others. And she's written a book and she has framed for a lot of people, myself included, although I haven't done all her courses or anything. I'm not as much of a devotee as you are to Gabby Bernstein. This idea of creating boundaries and finding your own quiet and joy kind of in moments that don't kind of revolve around things or outward affirmation.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of pictures of her or videos of her pouring herself tea. I mean, she has lots of tattoos. She's very cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she epitomizes the cool girl aesthetic. Like, you can be the cool person and also take great care of yourself.
Yeah. And she epitomizes a version of soft life that doesn't maybe is not materialistic.
I love that about her and her platform, and we will make sure that we link it below.
But there are lots of messages that she shares around boundaries, around intentionality. And I think that's where we want to go with some of this conversation around Ozempic is about intentionality and why we're feeling the way we are and doing the things we're doing.
Yeah, but I also think that this quote in particular, I mean, it kind of gets to so much of what we talk about here at Justice, this idea that I don't have to perform for the male gaze. Mm. I don't have to chase someone just to choose me. And maybe it's not even men. Maybe it's just a friendship. Maybe it's just trying to be in the inner circle of something. Maybe it's a sorority or fraternity. Whatever it may be, we don't have to exert all of this additional effort just to get someone else's affirmation. And that's what I take from it, which I think is a really strong and powerful message.
And I also think related to some of the conversations we're having here around workplace professionalism, right? If you want something, go for it. But you don't need to go for it because others want you to do it. Or you don't need others
to validate who you are
and your worth.
Exactly. It's about, because I think when you do that, what you are doing is really allowing someone to say whether or not you are worth being the prize.
Right. And so, yes.
Yeah, and I think many, many women, especially in hetero situations, have been conditioned in this way, right? That it is the ultimate prize to be chosen by a man. And the sad part about it is a lot of times that's just not fucking true. I mean, they shouldn't have that much power regardless, but also how many of us are in just bullshit, toxic ass relationships? So you do all this work to be chosen.
Right. By just someone you might not even respect.
By someone who doesn't respect you, regard you, who can't help to manage money, finances, household. Like, come on, man. Choose yourself, I think, is the message here. And I appreciate that.
I appreciate it, too. Okay. Our sponsor.
Today's sponsor is Miriam Wines. Marco, tell us all about Miriam Wines.
Today, we are drinking. Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Their 2022 Sonoma Coast Chardonnay. It is a light-bodied, crisp, and refreshing wine. It will become your new favorite summertime sipper as notes of lemon, lime, and pomelo grapefruits wake up your taste buds. It has a bright and lively mouthful, which is tamed by softness in the hints of minerality and whetstone. We're thrilled that Miriam Wines is our sponsor today and for many episodes, actually, this season. We're hoping that our partnership lasts for a while. Miriam Vineyards is in California. It's run, actually, the manager of the vineyard is my brother's best friend.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know. The family who owns it, the Miriam family, lives in Massachusetts, and they have grown this very successful wine business. And I don't know if I'm allowed to share, so I'm not going to, but some of the bigger restaurants in Boston carry Miriam as their house wine.
Ooh.
And so it is available online at some wine stores, though not a lot on the East Coast yet.
Okay.
But I actually really like this.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, I'm a white girl. I am a Chardonnay stan. And this is just so light, refreshing. It is perfect for the spring and summer months, especially. So, yeah.
I'm really enjoying this. So thanks to Miriam Vineyards. I'm thrilled to partner with you. Okay, let's get to it. Ozempic. So let's set the stage a little bit about the conversation that's kind of taking off.
So I don't know where you were when you first heard of Ozempic, but I'm sure I was scrolling across social media and I found out that it was a drug that was commonly being used to lose weight. A lot of celebrities have been using it, or it's been assumed that they are using it, mostly women. My aunt actually told me that I have a cousin who had weight loss surgery and his doctor afterwards prescribed him Ozempic because he had not been losing weight as anticipated. And so this is something that's like everywhere you turn your head, you're hearing about this drug. And then during our live, it was many of our followers in the chat about a couple weeks ago, and they reminded us that Wegovy and Ozempic are not the same, although similar in that they help to curb your appetite. And now you're telling me that there's another one?
Yeah, so there's another one, Mounjaro, which I think is more similar, although I don't know, to Wegovy. But also there are a ton of compounding pharmacies in Mexico that are doing off-label drugs that have the same impact or similar impact on the body, which is around, again, we're not doctors. We're not giving any medical advice. This is information that we're learning in real time too, but around insulin and kind of curbing appetite and cravings.
Exactly. And typically, Ozempic is used to actually regulate your insulin, and then this curbing of appetite is
one of the results of it. And I think there's also an impact on when you feel full.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, you feel fuller quicker with less food.
Right. And there's certain, I've also read that certain foods and drinks are less appetizing. So some people can't drink on. So I have read that like alcohol and wine and beer taste bad when you're taking Ozempic, which again, we know that alcohol is not like good for you like long term, but also for weight loss.
Yeah.
Because it turns into sugar.
Yeah, and I also heard to that point that it helps you to digest your food slower. So same type of thing.
Right, so you're not kind of going through food and needing more food.
Exactly.
So there is a medical purpose to Ozempic. It was created for people with diabetes, correct?
Correct, and Wegovy actually is marketed as a weight loss drug.
And Wegovy is marketed as a weight loss drug initially for people with obesity issues.
Yes.
But people have used it off-label to lose weight if they don't have diabetes or don't have weight issues.
Correct. That's my understanding as well.
There are three groups of individuals. And I'm sure, like you like to do, there's some concentric circles, right? There are people who are struggling with diabetes, a medical condition, people struggling with obesity, a medical condition, and people not struggling with either but want to lose weight.
Absolutely.
Okay. And there's a lot of chatter among people and sharing their opinions about who's using it and who's not using it and opinions about who's using it and why. And what say you?
Oh, this is tough because you and I have had conversations about the different body modifications that are acceptable and the ones that aren't, right? So there are things that I think most people do, especially if you're feminine presenting every day, that some people may say, well, you're changing your body. Why are you doing that? You're shaving your legs. You're shaving under your arms. For example, my eyebrows are microbladed. When I had my partial mastectomy, so my lumpectomy, I actually had a breast reduction at the same time. That was completely voluntary. I didn't have to do that. I say all the time that if I want other forms of plastic surgery, I will definitely do it. And so I find that getting into this conversation, I have to keep those things in mind because it's easy to stand in judgment when we do things every day to alter our appearance.
I feel the exact same way. And I think, you know, as someone who has done plastic surgery as a result of my double mastectomy, I had reconstructive surgery, and I do other forms of body modification. I get waxed, I color my hair, I get my nails done. So who am I to judge when someone wants to modify their body? So I have had these conversations with people kind of when we're talking about this specifically, where I'll say, well, I've gotten plastic surgery. And they're like, yeah, but yours is different.
Mm. So who sets the standard?
But who sets the standard? I could have gone flat.
Yeah.
A lot of people go flat. A lot of people choose not to have the second or third surgery for reconstruction.
And my grandmother did that.
Right. Exactly. And that wasn't necessarily a choice, right? Like that was, but I also have no issue with other people's decisions if that is what they want.
Yeah. So then I think we can both argue both sides here, because if we are being probably the most fair and non-judgmental, that's where our initial argument lands.
Right. Except I think we're all about nuance.
For sure.
And where I find this conversation, well, not the conversation, but the proliferation to be problematic.
That's fair.
Is not blaming the drug. Not blaming people's access to the drug, although it is very problematic if people are using it off-label for weight loss when it's not available for people with diabetes.
Amen.
But why? And what message are we sending?
And so we can't have this conversation without entering into the chat, standards of beauty and particularly Eurocentric standards of beauty. And something you reminded me of on that same live, which is this proximity of whiteness to wealth and the wealth to thinness, which I had never thought about before. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Among white wealthy people, and I think I can just say this kind of off the bat, obesity and being in a larger body, which many people are just naturally, is really looked down upon.
Wow.
And being skinny as a woman is a symbol of hard work, pride, like care, control. And the skinny you are and the more you've deprived yourself, the more like worthy you are of your wealth.
Oh my gosh. Doesn't this sound like some Keith Raniere shit?
Yes. Well, it is.
It is. Like it's the same. And by the way, Keith Raniere is the person currently serving, I think, 120 years in prison for his role in NXIVM or ESP, the cult, and the just horrible acts that he did to his members or the participants, including women, who were basically part of a sex cult. And a lot of his abuse surrounded them being thin and depriving them of food.
So can I ask you a question just around this?
Yeah.
Did you have any friends in high school, college, or in your 20s who had eating disorders?
None.
Okay. So for our white listeners and viewers, every single one will know multiple people who struggled with an eating disorder. And so that is definitely a difference in our experiences.
Yeah, for sure.
And so there is definitely an expectation around being in a smaller body and that equating to hard work and taking care of yourself. And if you're larger, you're not taking care of yourself, which we know is just fundamentally false.
Absolutely.
People are in the bodies that they're in because that's how their bodies are supposed to be. Of course, you know, people take care of themselves in different ways and there is a range of healthy.
Yeah.
And obesity is a risk factor in other health issues, but being in a larger body in and of itself is...
It's not unhealthy patently, for sure. And so it's interesting because I also feel like some of this is class related.
Mm.
And so if I, for example, was born and raised in Baldwin Hills or in parts of Prince George's County in the DC metro area where there was a level of affluence in blackness, then maybe my experiences would have been different. But I am from a low income working class background in the South. I'm from a place where we would like, you know, give babies chicken bones to suck on, like food and having curves and being like built and having a certain stature in a particular way is actually celebrated. Like to have a fat, chunky baby, oh, that baby's eating good. You know, like that's positive. And the same thing is true when we get older. You know, I don't want to go so far as to say that there's not still body shaming because there certainly is. I was shamed a lot for being very thin. But on the flip side, I'm celebrated the most now at my largest weight. And so it definitely is a huge cultural difference.
And I think it's just so fascinating.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, you know, the kind of most vocal opinions around this have been kind of have been on the internet, where people are either shaming others for taking the drug or being shamed.
Yeah.
And I, first of all, I don't really understand why people shame other people on the internet. So
there's that.
There's that. And who has time and all of that. But I would reframe the question to be why are people trying to be so skinny at a bigger age?
Especially when they are already thin objectively. That's the thing too. So I've had the pleasure of being in LA and being around C-list celebrities. And I think I came back and I told you that I was shocked by how thin these people were.
After having seen them other times, right?
Exactly. And also seeing them on TV. So television does really put 10 pounds on you. And so in real life, Margot, some of these women who are older than us are weighing 100 pounds dripping wet. That is unnatural for a lot of people, probably most. There is a level of deprivation.
Oh, for sure.
And body modification, clearly through drugs, otherwise plastic surgery, that is obviously happening. And I think what has to be interrogated is why.
And honestly, it makes me really sad for them.
For sure.
Because there are, when I'm feeling negative, I can say there are so few joys in life.
Yeah.
Or when I'm feeling positive, there are so many joys. Equally, one of those joys is sharing food and drink in community.
Amen.
Cooking for friends, eating with friends and loved ones, trying new foods, feeling full, going to bed with a warm tummy, right? Like all of those are good feelings. Going to bed hungry is something everyone has experienced at least once, and it is a terrible feeling.
Absolutely.
Especially when it's, you know, there are many people, millions of people in this country who are going hungry every night because they don't have money.
And don't have a choice. So to choose to be hungry, isn't that some like wild psychological thing to think the role that thinness, which is a completely subjective beauty standard, not at all related to health, has over our lives? And I think that's the part of this conversation that we have to also, as much as we want to, you know, argue for bodily autonomy, argue for, sis, if you like it, I love it, go off, do what you will with your body. The reality is we have to question why you want to do that thing with your body.
And are you doing it because you want to, because you will feel better because of the way you live, because of the clothes you want to wear, because of how you present yourself? Or are you doing it because you feel like you have to,
yeah,
to fit into a mold of yourself that other people want for you?
Well, I want to talk about this because we did some Googling before we came in today. And we talked about how so much of this conversation is really centering reality TV stars, which I would argue is a different type of celebrity than kind of the mainstream actress, actor, right, thespian. Like, these are people who have created a life, a wealth, public image, a celebrity status off of just their likeness and being their own brands.
And sorry.
So there also feels like this additional mind fuck around what it means to just be yourself and to feel like you have to look a certain way to be yourself on television.
And much of the conversation also online, you know, around celebrity culture or reality TV culture is around groups of women who are in big age.
Absolutely. We think about the Real Housewives.
Right. And so again, questioning, interrogating why there's such a movement for women of a certain age to look and act like women of a much younger age.
Right. Absolutely.
You couldn't pay me to go back to my 20s.
At all. And it's almost like we want the 20-year-old body, but the 40-year-old wisdom.
And life.
And that just ain't how it's set up, my G. That's not how it is. Like, we got to take what comes with it. And it doesn't mean that you can't aspire to be your best self in all the ways and to be the most healthy. But when it gets to the point that you're introducing these more, I don't want to say aggressive, but more not as socially accepted forms of bodily modification, right, we have to ask why.
So I would just kind of question or query socially accepted, because
yeah,
we do things all the time. So a couple things. Like, we do things all the time where we don't know what the long-term ramifications. So one of the arguments against using Wegovy and Ozempic for recreational use, right, is that the long-term side effects haven't been studied. Right. It's a fairly new drug. We don't know. It's been studied for diabetes and obesity, but it hasn't been studied for off-label use. But we do things off-label all the time. We take drugs prescribed and otherwise all the time where we don't know what the long-term effects are going to be, but we do them weighing the pros and cons. Right. So I can name like a gazillion in a day,
yeah,
that we do. Right. Pollution, food, drink, Daily medication that you take, the cream that you put on your body, the shampoo that you put in your hair, the hairspray that you put on, the makeup that you put on. What types of clothing are you wearing? Are they made of synthetic materials? How are you driving? Are you driving in an electric car? Are you driving in community with other cars that have exhaust and that has pollution? So I can get in my own head and sometimes get scared about a lot of this stuff. But the reality is we expose ourselves to chemicals all the time that we don't know the long-term impacts. But it's also a risk.
It's a risk. And I also think what that makes me think of is that while I would not absolve anyone of personal responsibility, and I understand the role of individual behavior, what we really need to be asking ourselves is what's the larger social construct that we are behaving in this way under, right? And what we know, we've already talked about on this episode, and we talk about all the time, is that we live in a cis hetero patriarchal society and white supremacist, in which a very specific type of cisgender woman is heralded as the standard. And the farther outside of that standard you are, the more of a problem you are in society in general, right? You need to look this way, and this way confers all of these additional benefits on your life. And if you don't look that way, could think about weaves and implants and all of these things, right? If you don't look this way in particular, then you don't deserve the opportunity. You shouldn't be on camera. You shouldn't have celebrity status. That for me is the problem, because when that societal construct exists, it is so much harder to make individual decisions that are just your own and that have not been heavily influenced. That's just my opinion. The last thing I'll say is kind of funny, but not. One of my friends talked about how in the Miami airport, they ran out of wheelchairs because everybody was coming in to get BBLs. And like the people who were physically disabled and not because of a BBL could not find a wheelchair, and that people who've had a BBL were on planes, like on their knees like this, for the entire flight. So we're talking about, at this point, these things, not just Ozempic, but very popular surgeries that, number one, are affecting everybody, right? My grandma ain't done nothing. She needs to get a wheelchair in Miami, and your BBL is the reason why she can't get a wheelchair, you know? And then
I'm not interrupting you. For some of our listeners and viewers, they might not know what a BBL is.
It's a Brazilian butt lift, y'all. Yeah, it's a Brazilian butt lift. And it's so funny because they've existed for a long time, but something just happened. I think it's social media where they skyrocketed. And so, again, not surgery shaming anyone, just we have to ask, why are you willing to put yourself in this risk in these unsafe conditions? Another example, there is this hit the news a couple months ago. You all probably heard it, about this family. I think it was two cousins their friend who went to Juarez, Mexico. And we still don't know. I mean, the cartel took, you know, the hit for it, but they were basically abducted. One of the men, at least, was killed. I don't know if the other one was. But the reason that they were there and they had driven from Texas to Juarez was because she was going to get a BBL and getting this surgery for much cheaper than it is in the United States. And that's also happening as well. People are flying to foreign countries to get different forms of surgery. And so we just have to be careful with these things because it's scary.
So I would argue also, I am obviously not an expert, but my understanding is if you do have a BBL, for example, it's really hard to sit.
Yeah, I mean, for months. It can be. No, for months, you are not supposed to sit down. So a lot of these surgeries also get botched because who cannot sit down for months?
Okay, right. So you can't sit down for months. With Ozempic, you really don't eat. Like, it really curbs your appetite. So you just like, I think, you just like pick.
So you never really get to enjoy food.
I don't know. Sitting and eating are kind of fundamental to my day. I might be in the minority here, but what? Like, what are we? What?
The question is what and why?
Right, because I want to lose 5 pounds?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, sure. That would be fine if I lost 5 pounds. But, like, I also Want to pour myself some more Miriam wine. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam. So the why for me, I think, is a couple of reasons. One, we are geriatric millennials, right? And so we remember when you had to wait once a month to get a new magazine to see what celebrities were doing. Today, you open any social media application, you go to any celebrity website, and you see the most mundane parts of their day. You see them with no makeup on. You see them waking up in the morning. You see them all glammed up. And so we are consistently comparing ourselves to other people, I think, at a time that is completely different and at the highest form in human existence. Like, it cannot be good for us psychologically. And the other thing obviously goes back to those same standards of beauty that I just mentioned, you know, where we are performing in some way for others, men or not, but we are thinking about ourselves and our bodies through the gaze of other people versus accepting who we are and what we look like.
And also through the gaze of youth.
That's deep.
So I want to kind of add a little thing to the conversation that I actually do find incredibly upsetting about the Ozempic Wegovy situation. And that's the advertising. And so, like, there's the proliferation on social media that is in our face, but we also have control over that. We don't have to look at these celebrities or see these big weight loss changes. I mean, we can notice them, but if they're making us feel a certain way, we don't need to expose ourselves. That's a choice. We can remove that app from our phone. I mean, it's not that easy, but
For sure, we could. I get your point.
But what we can't control is what our children see out on the street. And a couple weeks ago, I was on a road trip with my girls, and we were in New York City taking the subway. And all over the New York – I'm not joking – all over the New York City subway station, I would really like to hear from our listeners and viewers in New York City about if there are kind of broader conversations around this. All over the subways, Lower East Side, Lower West Side, Brooklyn, Midtown, ads – in the station, you couldn't hide them for Wegovy. And a picture, a huge blown up picture of a woman, it wasn't even her face. It was just her grabbing her stomach and giving herself an injection.
That's right, because it's an injection and not a pill.
My kids saw that.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, you can't control everything. We had a conversation about what it was, you know, unsurprising if you know my oldest daughter. She was like, well, that's screwed up. Why would you do that? You know, but again, like, that's the type of advertising that is problematic.
Yeah, because I also think about the person who sees that, who doesn't feel great in their body for a whole host of reasons. Now I'm just on my commute to work and I'm
feeling
getting
bad.
Like, I just woke up. You know, I've done nothing to deserve yet another reminder that I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. And it also reminds me, Margot, of, like, what happened to the body positivity movement? How have things changed so quickly? Weren't we just, like, celebrating diverse body types? How do we get here?
And yeah, I was thinking about that because, again, it's all what we see. I wasn't so aware that it was over. So when I, and you and I have talked about this, like, on the runway, in print media now, you see a lot more diverse body types than when we were younger.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, that's post-Ozempic. I mean, I know we're not post-Ozempic, but Ozempic was alive and well last year.
Was it? So it's this cognitive dissonance that our society seems to be doing right now, where on one side of our mouth, we're saying, show up as you are in all shapes and sizes. And the other side, we're saying, actually, bitch, you need to lose 10 pounds. Take this pill, take this injection. How are we supposed to reconcile that? It is a complete mindfuck.
Yeah, I don't know. But I will say, okay, so that is all of the negative side effects. I heard this story that was really made me think about the drug in a different way from a friend of mine in New York, because I was going to her house in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
When I saw the ad for the first time. And she's like, you know what? I agree with you, but let me tell you a story. She has a friend who has struggled with her weight for some time and has perpetual knee issues. So can't walk that much, like a lot of pain. Can't walk that much, can't run. The only exercise she can really do is swim. and has tried everything and is too heavy to have knee surgery. Because I think you know, doctors don't want to do certain surgeries if you're...
For sure.
Right?
Cause that makes sense.
Because of the rehab, or it's not going to be effective.
And then the weight just goes back on this repaired knee, and the right. knee can't properly heal.
Right. Yeah. And she's tried everything and really deprived herself for a really long time and had started showing significant signs of depression and isolation, like wasn't going out, wasn't seeing people. And her doctor had recommended, I don't know if it was Ozempic or Wegovy, but one of those, for a long time. And she felt so much shame about taking it and really kind of pushed it off for a long, long time. And then she, 6 months, 12 months after her doctor initially recommended it, she was in so much pain. She could barely walk. She's our age.
Wow.
She started taking it. And it was the first time in 20 years that she was able to lose some weight.
And see, so I think there's something about that story that is key. You talked about being in consultation with a physician. I'm not in the medical exam room with these people, but I just feel like if you are not having a medical need, I really doubt that a doctor is like, oh, you want to lose 5 pounds because you want to go from a size 4 to a size 2. Here you go. Prescription for Wegovy. Prescription for Ozempic. Like, that's not what's happening. These people are, by and large, getting these pills off label from God knows where, also paying full price for them and depriving people who have insurance who cannot get their hands on
them. So how are they getting the prescription? Because it's not like you can go to a CVS or a Rite Aid and buy Ozempic.
That's a really good point. I don't know if they are working with doctors who have kind of shady practices, which we know is more than possible, or if they're getting them from like overseas manufacturers. I'm not sure. But it sounds like, again, from the story you just told, this was something that a doctor prescribed for a good reason.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's honestly what's being lost in some of the back and forth, because this person, I don't know her, felt so much shame.
Yeah, about taking it.
That's horrible. She had a medical condition, multiple medical conditions, yeah. Mental health condition, a physical health condition, like a condition that was preventing her from having a needed surgery. And there are people that really, really can't lose weight for all sorts of different, like they are overweight and have a really hard time losing weight
for sure.
Maybe they have a history of an eating disorder. Maybe they have a screwed up metabolism because of diabetes or heart disease or blood sugar issues or blood pressure issues or family history, or have had a lot of surgeries. And we know that if you've had surgeries, your bodies never go back.
Yep.
Even if they're not reconstruction, by the way, guys, like any sort of surgery, your body never goes back to exactly how it was before.
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
So it sounds like if we had to draw a line in the sand, because I don't want people to think that we're like playing both sides, right? We are recognizing the nuance, but I think for me at least, if I had to draw a line, I would say have this conversation honestly with a reputable health provider. I went to the doctor recently, to my primary care physician, who I absolutely love. And I was like, hey, I haven't done anything different, but I've gained about 20 pounds in the past 12 months. I don't know what's going on. Diabetes, high blood pressure runs in my family. I don't want to keep doing the same thing and my weight gets so out of control that I can't contain it. And we had a great conversation around nutrition, around things that I could do, the types of exercise that might be helpful. Not one time did she say to me, oh, you gained 20 pounds? Here goes Wegovy. She didn't say that to me. She counseled me around healthy eating practices that I didn't even know that I did not know. But that's her job, because she's a medical professional to know.
So I want to say two things in response to that. One, I have also gained a little bit of weight in the last year or so. And one of the things, non sequitur, but I was talking to someone in my family who went from having an in-person job full-time to working at home.
Okay.
And what she told me was that she started noticing also that she was gaining weight. And she said, I looked at my pedometer or whatever on my phone, and I realized that when I had been in the office every day, I was walking about 4 to 5 miles a day.
Oh, wow. I believe that.
Right from the train to, and she was also in a healthcare setting, right? So she was like seeing patients and back and forth to her office. And so more than probably the average person, but, and that when she was at home, she locked point two.
This is so true. That's true for me. That's exactly what happened.
Same for me.
Yeah.
What happened about a year ago? I stopped going into the office.
Exactly.
And so I think we're really quick to be like, there's something wrong with me. I'm going through menopause. Like, my body's changed. And bodies certainly change and metabolisms change. But our lifestyle also, all of our lifestyles have changed over the last couple of years in response to COVID. So I think we need to delve a little bit into that.
And give ourselves some grace for it.
Absolutely. But there's also something else that I think is just so fascinating in this conversation that I feel like people have forgotten, which is we've always had a Wegovy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was a brief respite, like with body positivity, but like, if you grew up in the 80s or the 90s, we had SlimFast, we had FenFen.
I remember that.
We had appetite suppressants. You know, I remember going to a wedding with Josh early on in our relationship, and a girl next to me who went to college with him just had Adderall for dinner.
Oh my gosh, Margot, are you serious? Yes.
She refused her dinner plate. It was a plated reception. So, like, there were wait staff, and we were getting served. And it was like, it was a beautiful wedding. And she was like, no. And she refused. I didn't know anyone at this wedding other than Josh and his roommates from college. So I'm sitting next to Josh, me, this woman. And you know me, I'm like, oh, what? Like, are you a vegetarian? Like, she's like, no, I'm not eating. And I was like, okay. And she literally took out her purse, opened her Adderall.
Margo. And then I have to question the people around you. Like show love and support to people who are suffering in some ways. I don't know this woman, but for some people, there is a body dysmorphia that is happening that we also really need to recognize and call a thing, a fucking thing. But again, my original point was have these conversations with a medical provider who you can trust, who also knows you, be transparent and be honest.
And also, your body may not be able to naturally lose those 5 pounds. So, you know, I'm not all like roses and whatever, but like we have to learn to love our bodies through the stages because we're all going to get old.
That's what my doctor said to me. She's probably like mid-50s, mid to late, and she's a thin woman, but our body shape is not the same. And she was like, look, she kind of grabbed her body parts and she's like, there's nothing I'm going to ever be able to do about this, my arms. My belly. That's just what it means to age. This is what I look like. And she said, but what I am telling you is how to maintain a healthy lifestyle. And that should, I think, be the goal for us all.
And that's beauty.
Better preach this today.
Right?
Amen.
Like, it is. Being healthy and enjoying your life is beauty. So you depriving yourself of movement, of rest, of food, of nourishment, is deprivation.
That's such a positive frame. It's powerful, Margo. It just shifted something in me because it takes this need to eat a certain way and to exercise and to do all of these things out of a deprivation mindset and into an abundance mindset.
So you know what's so interesting? Thank you. And I have really been working on this because, for example, this week, like when we film, our weeks are crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
Good crazy, but crazy. We're busy. And because we don't get a lot of time face to face, you know, we're recording and then we're talking and we're doing business planning. And so leading up and the days that we're together working, I don't get to work out.
Yeah.
Right. So I typically on a given week work out 4 or 5 times a week. It's my mental health stuff. Right. And I don't when we're doing this. And I have gone away from being hard on myself. Like, come on, Margo, like you're fucking up to, wow, on Saturday I get to go to yoga.
Yeah, and looking forward to that.
And looking forward to it. It's like, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen yesterday. There's no time.
And saying what you just said actually made me reframe things into, oh, damn, I got to work out today. I don't feel like getting up. And I got up this morning and I worked out with my girl online. I will link her down below.
You did good for you and you didn't wake up anyone. I was working downstairs, but I didn't hear you.
I did.
Didn't hear anyone?
No, and I didn't. And I didn't have the weights and all the materials. I didn't even really have sweats or sneakers. But I was like, I've just got to move my body. And instead of seeing it as this extreme chore, it's like I am pouring into myself. I am loving myself.
And you're not being hard on yourself, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot the weights, or I didn't ask Margo to get the weights downstairs, or I didn't have the right clothes, or...
Mm-mm. I just rolled out of bed and was like, okay, let me get to this thing. And
I love that for you.
I think, thank you. It helped me to start my day in a way that was much more settled and centered. So I think we have that in common about the reframes necessary here.
The reframe is necessary, and you can only do what you can do.
Amen. For sure.
I think there's also, we have to have the self-inquiry around body manipulation, and that we've all done some form of it. If anyone's ever been on a diet, if anyone's ever worn shapewear, if anyone has ever shaved their legs or gotten their hair cut or tweezed their eyebrows or gotten their nails done, right? We like mentioned this earlier, but
for sure,
we've all done it. And so why don't we just kind of give ourselves and everyone some grace? And instead of being angry at celebrities for doing it, I would say my final thoughts are question why they're doing it and feel sad that they feel like they have to.
There you go. Because it is never the crabs. It's always the barrel, right? It is a larger...
I don't get that, but sure.
Like, you know how people say, well, it's just crabs in a barrel. All these celebrities are doing what everybody else is doing. But really the question is, why were the crabs ever in the barrel? So it's a larger societal construct that's at play that is driving this behavior, especially as it comes to media and celebrity status, because those things have been ingrained in our brains for a lifetime. For sure.
Thank you for that. Okay, final thoughts. What is something you have been working on since season two?
I have been working on staying true to my, I guess, expectation for myself, for the positive habit I'm trying to build of not working after 7. And I would say that I'm probably 60% there. Like, I kind of backslid over the past couple weeks because I just a lot of things going on, specifically with filming branded content, and it takes so long to film and to edit, etc. But I'm trying to get back there and to be focused on the fact that whatever doesn't happen by 7, it just doesn't need to happen. It is what it is. So that's what I've been working on.
That's actually, I think you've done a really good job, because I send you a lot of emails after 7 and you don't respond to me.
I just, you know, the next day.
You're like, Margo, can wait.
What about you?
So I'm also, as you know, and some of our viewers and listeners know, I'm like new to this entrepreneur life. And it was slow in the beginning for some reasons. I was slow to take on new work because of my dad. And now all of a sudden I'm real busy, real busy, and have 3 different contracts that I'm working on, which is so exciting. And I'm really enjoying the work and the diversity of the work. But I'm having a really hard time figuring out my schedule.
I believe that. Yeah. It's tough.
So learning to block my schedule, or, you know, I'm a natural multitasker, but that's not, as we know, the best and highest use of your time. And so figuring out, like, as things come in, like what I need to respond to immediately, what I don't. And so that's a work in progress, and I'm working on it. I'm also working on journaling more.
Oh, yeah.
I got this new journal that's so awesome, and I was so excited about it, and I just haven't consistently done it, where it combines work and habits.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it has like goal, like a gratitude list, goals for the day. It has a schedule. It has nourishment. So morning, afternoon, evening. It has water intake, which I like, as we know, I like
into
to
the water.
It has movement. So you just circle. It has like 6 different options. So it has walk, run, yoga, Pilates, stretch, weights.
Oh, we need to link this.
It's amazing. But again, I haven't prioritized it. So figuring out how and when to journal.
Mm-hmm. And that goes back to probably the scheduling thing too. Like when to block that just you time.
And I think it's also one of these weird things, and you and I've talked about this, where it's like you get work and you prioritize the work. So the meetings pop up, you do the meetings, but like, what do you do when you have a meeting at 10, a meeting at 12, a meeting at 1, and a meeting at 6?
Like, what do you do in between? How do you spend your day? If folks have any thoughts about solopreneurship, let us know. Margo and I are both on this journey together. But in the meantime, friend, I'm so happy that we both are working on these positive habits for ourselves.
And I have you to thank for the journaling.
Oh, it's one of my joys, that and anal.
Yeah.
Oh, don't let my grandma hear this episode. Jesus.
Or your mother.
This is true. This is also true.
All right, or auntie.
No, auntie would be like, go get it. All right, y'all. We appreciate you listening to this episode. Stay tuned for the next one.